WATD presents Monday Night Talk with State Senator Bob Hedlund.
I'm just kidding.
A little more Boston soul, Senator.
I'll tell you how I did it.
Senator, this one's for the Democrats, so let's really hear it.
Democrats and Republicans are like labels. They're nothing more than ketchup and mustard.
It's so outrageous in this time in our country's history.
Call 781-837-4900.
The Tea Party Express didn't hit Plymouth and it didn't hit Massachusetts.
We stabilized the economy, got job growth in the private sectors, but people all across America aren't feeling that progress.
I guess the question I want to ask you is,
Joe still there?
No, he's gone.
I wanted to ask him about
You can't get rid of me.
Here comes the good stuff, Senator.
Well, a great many news agencies all over the country monitor this show because oftentimes cutting-edge information comes across through Senator Bob Hedlund.
Running off at the mouth. Doesn't take long to get to know Bob.
Monday Night Talk, now with your host, Kevin Tachi. On 95.9 WATD.
Hey, Kevin. Sorry I missed your call the other day. I'm actually really sick.
Welcome to Monday Night Talk, an abbreviated Monday Night Talk, as we had the candidates for selectmen in the town of Plymouth. Be sure to tune in. I'm sure tomorrow morning there's going to be sound cuts from that if you happened to miss it. Monday Night Talk, as I said, abbreviated, but we have a great guest. We'll get to him in just a moment. A quick note, we want to thank our sponsors, S-Bank, where success starts with S, branches in Weymouth, Hanover, East Bridgewater, and Quincy, online at s-bank.com. Also, McGuigan's Pub, located in downtown Whitman. Richie Rosen will be joining us next week, and Life Care Centers of the South Shore. We'll be speaking with them next week as well. This week, we're going to speak with a gentleman who just a little over a month ago opened up his campaign to run for mayor in the city of Brockton. He is a two-term school committee member in Brockton. We have Mr. Bill Carpenter joining us in studio. How are you, sir?
Kevin, good evening. Thanks for having me down.
You got it. And just so folks know that this is pre-recorded, so no phone calls, please. We had a chance to grab Bill before this took place, the forum, and we wanted to sit down and talk with him. He has made the campaign for mayor exciting. We know 2 years ago when you looked at what was happening in the city of Brockton, there weren't really a lot of races. Every 2 years, the city of Brockton goes to the polls. And Mr. Carpenter sought re-election. What was it this year, Bill, that you said, you know, I don't know if I want to go for a third term as a school committee member, as though I think you've done a lot on the school committee. Tell me why you decided to run for mayor this time.
Well, Kevin, I think that a few months back, I was, you know, very flattered to have a number of people from the community in Brockton approach me about the possibility of my entering the mayor's race. And I was very flattered by that. And at first kind of dismissed it just a little bit. And then the more folks spoke with me and talked about the possibilities, I said, I think I'll just informally check around the city with some folks and see what kind of support I might have if I did enter the race. And I was, you know, both, you know, flattered and amazed to find out that a lot of folks were willing to back my candidacy if I did run. So, I mean, what really motivates me, Kevin, is the future of the city of Brockton. I think that Brockton is a city, like many others, that's in some trouble right now. Financially, our neighborhoods in Brockton are really in distress. Brockton has been hit harder by the foreclosure crisis than probably any other community in the area. We have issues with gun violence, with drugs. Our neighborhoods are not safe, many of them. And in addition to that, you can't walk one block in the city of Brockton without finding at least one vacant and abandoned property. So, I mean, I think neighborhoods, the future of the city. I'm concerned about the anti-business climate that exists in the city of Brockton right now. Businesses are reluctant to come into the city. Brockton has developed a reputation of being a not business-friendly city. And that concerns me a great deal because I believe that impacts the future of the city. And probably most importantly, Kevin, is the finances of the city and specifically property taxes. If there has been one consistent theme during the 4 years of the Balzotti administration is that property values have gone steadily down and property taxes have gone steadily up. and many Brockton families, from our retirees to working families, are caught in that vice right now, that they can't sell their property because they're underwater, but they're having difficulty holding on to their property because of the troubled economy in the city and because of the fact that particularly our folks on fixed incomes, that the water rates continue to go up, the property taxes continue to go up, and they're stuck in a house that they can't sell right now in the current market. So I think those are really the areas where I'm focusing my campaign.
I had the privilege of being there at Joey Angelo's when they put you up on the bar and let you give
I jumped up on that.
I know. And you had a chance to speak with the folks. What would you say was the most feedback you got from folks? Was it that you were talking about community policing? Was it about not taxing the city residents anymore? Was it that you were going to look to purchase Aquaria? Or was it that you would look to get into a limited partnership with the folks who are looking to build a power plant in the city?
I think that there's no doubt that my proposals on both the Aquaria water desalinization plant in Dighton, along with the potential construction of a gas-fired electric generating plant in the city, you know, clearly those two items, and they tie pretty closely together in my proposal. Mm-hmm. Are certainly items that folks talk to me about everywhere I go. For folks that are listening that may not be familiar, Brockton is trapped in a contract with a company called Aquaria that is now actually owned by a Korean company, Enema. But we're trapped. The city is trapped in this contract, paying nearly $6 million a year to purchase desalinization water that comes up from Dighton that the city has not used a drop of. And in the last 3 years, it's nearly $18 million that the city has laid out, $5.6 million a year ago, $5.8 million this year, for water that we're not even taking a drop of.
And you don't have any other communities that are coming to say, hey, we would like to purchase any of this. So it's just sitting there, right?
Well, this is one of the issues revolving this contract, Kevin, that I think that the mayor has really dropped the ball on, and that is the fact that it's a 60-page contract, and I've had a couple of attorneys review it for me to break it down a little for me.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a clause in that contract that requires the operators of the water plant to market the water to other customers. And that would then, as other customers purchase, that then reduces Brockton's obligation under the contract. Well, that just has not happened. The folks operating the Aquaria plant have not marketed any water to anyone else at a time where I know that there are at least half a dozen communities in the greater Brockton area that have a need for water. So in my view, there is an argument to say that the operators of the plant have failed to perform, at least under a portion of the contract. And I think that could be a basis for trying to renegotiate or avoid the contract. But I've honestly believed, Kevin, that the best approach to this, and we've really worked hard to crunch the numbers, it would be for the city of Brockton to purchase that Aquaria desal plant. We know that the owners of it are willing to sell it because they had entered into some negotiations about a year ago with the advanced power people that are looking to develop an electric generating plant. So we know they're willing to sell. We have an idea of the price range, and that price range is at about 40 cents on the dollar, what originally cost to develop not just the plant but the pipeline that brings the water from the Taunton River all the way up to the Brockton city limits right now. The system is up and running, although we're not taking any water, according to their report that they just filed with the state recently. They pumped 40 million gallons of water through the system last year. It's all being pumped into the river. They need to keep the system up and operating,
right,
to fulfill their end of the contract with the city of Brockton. So as we look at the numbers, with Brockton's good bond rating, with the low interest rates right now, it would be about $3 million a year to fund the bond to purchase the plant, which in my mind makes a lot more sense than paying $6 million a year, basically rent, for water we're not even taking. So, that is the, I believe, is the way to go. And then the second part of that equation, Kevin, is then for the city to negotiate an agreement with Advanced Power, the company that has been attempting to construct an electric generating plant in the city of Brockton for about 8 years now, because that electric plant has a huge need for water. If you look at the specs to the plant needs about 2 million gallons a day of water. And the operators, the developers of that plant have committed that they will buy Brockton Municipal Water. At our current block water rates, that equals over $3 million a year to purchase the water. So now instead of paying $6 million a year of rent, total loss, we buy that water plant, we can own it for $3 million a year, and we already have a customer lined up that in a couple of years is willing to buy $3 million a year of water. Sure. And so just the purchase from the electric plant alone would cover the note on the desal plant, and then I would bring in immediately a consultant to help market water to other users, both public and private, Kevin. Don't forget, this can also help fund the revitalization of Brockton's industrial tax base, commercial tax base, because there are certain industries that have a need for water. We could bring a bottling company in. We can bring biomed in. We can bring food processing in. There are certain industries that have a large need for water, and we would be in a position to attract those folks to Brockton and provide them with municipal water.
Let's backtrack just for half a second. So folks who may not understand the whole scenario as to why the desal plant was built. It was built because there was a particular time that the city of Brockton was having issues with having water, and I believe there was some kind of a mandate that they had to build it.
At the time that Brockton made the plans to build the desalination plant, the city was under a mandate from the state to develop a second source of drinking water, municipal water, for the city. The primary source of water for the city of Brockton is Silver Lake. So certainly a lot of folks in your listening area here are very familiar with Silver Lake. And after a couple of consecutive years of drought, the state felt that Brockton was drawing too much from Silver Lake, putting too much strain on it, drawing it to levels lower than what they wanted to see it go to. So they required Brockton to develop a second source of water. Brockton, instead of joining the MWRA, like many communities did, instead developed work to, you know, signed a contract with a developer to build this desalinization plant that provides remarkably high-quality drinking water right up to the Brockton city limits. What's interesting, Kevin, and why we don't need that water anymore is in the years that have ensued, Brockton today uses about 2 million gallons of water a day less than they did at that time. Brockton was using 11 million gallons a day. Today they only use 9 million gallons a day, primarily because we've improved the infrastructure a lot. A lot of the water pipes that were 100 years old have been replaced, and we've stopped the leakage out of the system. And also the advent of these water-efficient toilets now that use 1 gallon per flush instead of 6 gallons per flush. So the combination of those two, Brockton's water consumption has actually dropped a couple of million gallons a day. But unfortunately, the city is locked into this 20-year contract with Aquaria that we're paying $6 million a year for water we do not use.
I have to jump on the, as far as support for the 350-megawatt power plant or looking to get into a partnership. You know as well as I do, you're a guy who follows everything that happens in the city of Brockton, and that is every, you know, since it was made an issue back when Harrington was, up against Jay Stewart,
eight years ago,
it was the focal point of that race. It seems that the opponents to this project have tried to make it a main issue, and it's a small group. It's one guy who owns a company that's going to be in the vicinity, or if not abutting the area where they're looking to build, who has got a small, passionate group of folks who want nothing to do with this, and who've been steadily over the past 8 years putting stuff in the press as to how bad of an idea this is, how bad of a project this is. How do you overcome all of that negative press that's been put out there against this to get people to take a real clear look at this, that maybe this isn't a bad idea after all?
Well, Kevin, first of all, you're right. The opponents of the plant have been vocal and they've been effective.
Right.
No question about that. But I think that the majority of folks in the city of Brockton are willing to listen to common sense. Here's the important fact, Kevin, whether you support the construction of an electric plant or you don't. Over these last 8 years, There have been 8 court decisions between the developers of the plant and the city of Brockton. There have been 5 decisions and 3 appeals. The city of Brockton is 0-8 in court with the developers of the electric plant. 0-8. During that period of time, the city of Brockton has spent almost exactly $1 million in outside legal fees to go 0-8. You know, in the private sector, you never even get a chance to go 0-8. Mm. Somewhere around 0-3 or 0-4, they find someone to replace you.
Right. If you're on a sports team, you definitely got
you're on the bench. 0-4, you're not playing the next day. However, the city is 0-8. So I think a big part of my message, Kevin, is that this gas-fired electric generating plant is coming to the city of Brockton, whether folks like it or not. And the reality is it's either going to come by court order, right, and maybe we can the city can stall that off another 3 or 4 years, but it's coming. So my position, Kevin, is that the best route to go here, what makes the most sense, is while the city still has some leverage, right, let's negotiate a deal that's favorable to the city of Brockton. And so, you know, I've put a couple of prerequisites on what my agreement with those developers would look like. First of all, if at any point I were convinced that there were any threat to the public health, mm-hmm, I would not make an agreement under any circumstances. I've been out looking at some of these other similar plants. I just don't see it. I don't have the concerns that have been raised by the opponents. I think they're baseless. But we're not going to argue that. The state DEP has repeatedly signed off on the design of this plant.
Right.
So people who know a lot more than I do have signed off on this thing. But the things I'm looking for, Kevin, I'm looking for a share of the profits for the city of Brockton. Now, whether that's in the form of a limited partnership or it's in the form of a profit-sharing agreement, but one way or the other, I want to see the city of Brockton get a piece of the action, because I believe this electric plant is going to be even more profitable than the developers admit it's going to be. Natural gas today is the cheapest it's ever been through a process called fracturization now. You get much more natural gas. The costs are lower. I think this plant is a moneymaker, and I want the city to share in the profits. And I do also want to protect the folks who live closest to the site of the plant. And I would insist upon negotiating some type of mitigation fund so that some money is set aside during the development of this. So if folks who live close by feel they do have some type of claim, that they will then have a fund set aside to claim against. I think these are far more in the interest of the city and the taxpayers than continuing to waste money on outside legal fees to eventually lose in court. And if the court orders the city of Brockton 3, 4, 5 years from now to issue the proper permits, the building permit, all the city of Brockton is ever going to see, Kevin, is an annual property tax payment. That's it. You're not going to be able to negotiate any of these items after you lose in court. And in fact, Kevin, you know, if I'm the developers of that plant, I'm appealing the property tax assessment every year, and they will probably tie the city up for years in court trying to collect the property taxes, because they'll feel as though they'll treat the city the same way the city treated them.
Now, if you look at how the makeup of the city council at this particular time, we know it could change in September and November, depending on who's going to seek re-election on the city council and any new faces. My question to you, and I was impressed with your answer when I had a chance to talk to you moments after you had given your speech at Joe Angelo's. I asked you, you currently have a board, I believe it's a 10-1 ratio, who are against this project. If you could please tell me, give me your thoughts on how you would be able to persuade them to change their mind, or even give me that same answer you gave me that evening.
Right.
Well, I'd like to hear. Let everybody hear.
Well, I think there's a couple of dynamics. You're right, Kevin. Currently, on the record, 10 of the 11 current city councilors have stated their opposition to the construction of the plant. First of all, I feel as though, first of all, I don't think as mayor I need the city council for a whole lot to get this plant going forward, because I will fill the city boards with people who are willing to be open-minded, do the job to protect the best interests of the city, but not just deny applications based upon some sort of personal agenda, not the facts in front of them. I think clearly it's been demonstrated in court is that the proposed location of the power plant, it's zoned properly, mm-hmm, that the application meets all. And these folks are entitled to a fair hearing in front of city boards to get the proper permits, and that has not happened. That's why we're in court, and that's why the developers of this plant filed a $68 million civil rights lawsuit against the city of Brockton last year. But I also feel, Kevin, that to a certain extent, this election is a referendum on whether we should build this electric plant or not. And I honestly believe that if I knock off a two-term incumbent who has been adamantly opposed to the electric plant since the day it was proposed, that that will send a very loud message to the current city councilors that this is what the people in the city of Brockton want. And if they want to continue to serve on the council, they need to reconsider their position. And I believe that will happen. And will you change all 11 minds? Probably not. But I am convinced that a majority would be willing to follow the will of the people as mandated in this election. And at the end of the day, there's not a lot of city council approval that's required here. The mayor can take the lead on this, and I will completely change the city's position with the siting board regarding our support for the construction of the plant.
You are listening to a pre-recorded segment on Monday Night Talk. I'm speaking with mayoral candidate, current school committee member Bill Carpenter. Is just a little over a month ago, he announced his candidacy for mayor in Brockton. We will be back to a full show next week, I promise you. We got probably like maybe 5 or 6 minutes left in our conversation, Bill. Recent news broke in regards to a school facilities director in regards to some things that were investigated, 28-month report by the Inspector General's office. Give me your thoughts on that and how you feel that it's been handled so far by the mayor's office, and some of your thoughts on that particular issue.
Well, finally, Kevin, after over 2 weeks of the report being received by the city of Brockton, the facilities director who was the subject of the investigation did submit his resignation last Friday, 16 days after the city received the report. I think the silence was deafening from the mayor's office. It really was. And this is obviously something in my role as a school committee member I've been intimately involved with. We've been waiting for this report to come. We've been aware of the allegations for some time. I don't know why it took any time to respond at all. We've been waiting. It was a 28-month investigation. We've been aware of the investigation. We've been waiting for this report for at least a year and a half since we thought the report would originally come out. So why the mayor and the superintendent were not prepared to react immediately, knowing, you know, the possibility that this was coming, was disappointing to me. And having said that, I guess ultimately getting the resignation is in the best interest of the school district. However, what folks need to realize is these were not allegations. This was a final report, the conclusion of an investigation, and this report concluded, didn't allege, it concluded repeated violations of both state ethics laws and state procurement laws. Mm-hmm. We had spending limits far exceeded on contracts with no documentation to back it up. We had this facilities director awarding contracts to friends and business associates, even to the extent of two no-bid contracts in excess of $500,000 each to someone that he was in a business partnership with outside of his city job. The state limit on a no-bid contract is $100,000 on two different occasions he awarded. So he was, we'll see if there are criminal charges or not. But there's no doubt that the inspector general concluded that there was a pattern of repeated violations of both procurement laws and state ethics laws. And clearly this person needed to go. Had I been in the city of Brockton, the mayor serves as the chairman of the school committee, I would have insisted on a resignation within 24 hours of receipt of the report, or I would have just gone forward with the termination. It's clear cut, and I think sometimes, Kevin, you can't be afraid to do the right thing. And clearly, I don't know where the mayor was for the last 2 weeks, but in my mind, folks were afraid to do the right thing. They shouldn't have been. When it's this clear cut, you have to send a message. It's not fair to the other people who work for the Brockton Public Schools, who are hardworking, honest people who do their job every day. And everyone in the administration of the school department has been tarnished by this scandal.
We could probably get about maybe 4 or 5 minutes left. Give me some of the things that you're hearing from the residents of Brockton who, if you're elected, some of the things that they want to see Maybe it's, you know, void in the leadership over the past 2 to 4 years from the mayor's office. What have you been hearing out there on the streets?
Kevin, I think there are a couple of big issues right now as I'm out speaking to residents of the city of Brockton. The first one is accessibility. I think there's a prevalent attitude, perception in the city of Brockton by the residents and taxpayers that this mayor is not accessible. And I think that would be one of the biggest differences with myself taking over as the mayor of the city, is that I would have a true open door policy, even to the extent, Kevin, I've already made the pledge that as mayor, I will open up City Hall an hour early, one day a month, for coffee with the mayor. And any resident in the city, it'll be publicized, the date and time, we'll do it once a month. Any resident in the city can walk into City Hall that morning, we'll have the pot of coffee on, and come in and speak directly to the mayor. I'll have my staff there prepared to help people. And if folks believe they have a particular question, complaint, need help with the situation, they feel as though whatever city department they're trying to deal with is not helping them effectively, they'll have an opportunity to come and speak directly to the mayor. And I just think that will send the message that City Hall is open again and residents can come in. And because if you think about it, Kevin, think of this fiasco with the water bills in the city under the Balzotti administration. Correct. Perhaps if someone, if just Joe Citizen had had the opportunity to speak directly to the mayor about the water bills, the incorrect water bills that resulted in hundreds of Brockton families having their homes leaned by the city when they were billed incorrectly. I think that situations like that could have been avoided, because not just you're giving people access to speak to the mayor, but Kevin, this is also a management tool for the mayor to get feedback directly from the constituents to be able to identify where city government may not be working properly. You know, the folks who work for you may filter the information to you. Mm. However, if you have a chance to hear it directly from the constituent, from the consumer, then if we are having some sort of an issue, it makes me aware of it. I can go directly to that department head and get it straightened out. The other issue, Kevin, everyone is asking me about is this situation where Stonehill College for years has been dramatically underpaying the cost of their sewer. They're hooked up. The college is hooked up to the city of Brockton sewer treatment system. And rather than pay the block rate for the large user that they are, like the VA hospital does, like Concord Foods does, any of our large users, they have about 56 or 58 individual meters over there at the college. That the result of that is that they're underpaying for their sewer treatment between $175,000 and $200,000 per year. I have pledged to folks that I will personally sit with the president of Stonehill College, who will be a new president at that point, within 30 days of taking office, and I will get a new agreement for the city of Brockton where Stonehill College pays their fair share. Because if they don't, I will have the city solicitor's office put them on notice that we're terminating the agreement, and they can ship their crap someplace else other than the city of Brockton.
I feel that we could talk for another half an hour. Unfortunately, we don't have that kind of time. I'm sure we're going to have you in a couple more times leading up to September 17th.
I hope so. This is my hometown, Kevin. Don't forget, I'm in Brockton for the past 27 years, but I'm a graduate of Marshfield High School. So,
well, maybe if you want to run for selectman you know, 10 or 15 years when you move back here, we'll see what happens.
We'll see. I'm happy in the city of champions.
But I got to give you a chance to kind of let folks know what's the plan for you for the next, you know, 7 or 8 months, you know, probably 5 or 6 months leading up to September 17th, because that's a big day for you. It's a crowded field, and you're hoping to be, besides Linda Balzotti, that you're the other person that's going to be, you know, will have the highest vote total to meet her in November.
There are four candidates. There's a preliminary election on September 17th, and obviously as a challenger, we're all about September 17th.
Yep.
Our goal is to finish second and to keep the mayor under 50%. So if we accomplish those things, we believe we'll be positioned very strongly in the final election to go one-on-one with the mayor.
Website and for a way for people to follow you.
BillCarpenterForMayor.com is the website. Please check it out. You can like my Facebook page, Bill Carpenter for Mayor. And also we're on Twitter. You can follow us at Bill for Mayor. And all of those, it's F-O-R. So Bill Carpenter, F-O-R. BillCarpenterForMayor.com, Bill Carpenter for Mayor on Facebook, and at Bill for Mayor on Twitter. Please follow us.
There he is, Bill Carpenter. Bill, thank you very much for joining
Kevin,
us.
Kevin, great to be here. Thank you.
You got it.